You are listening to episode 126, Music Messaging and Mobile Printing.
Speaking of wireless stuff, did you hear about the Apple bug that kind of surfaced this week? Caused a little bit of a firestorm.
I got an update that I've ignored it so far on my phone.
You probably shouldn't ignore that one. That one's kind of an important one. It's actually, and not only should you not ignore it, I would recommend it is recommended that you actually do the update, but most importantly, you do it over a secure, known internet connection. Don't go outside.
Okay, I'm on one right now.
Because
right now,
it's funny. I just looked at my phone and I decided to do it. It's mine too. I'm downloading it right now, and I got 1 minute remaining. Of course, Wait a second. My internet connection's pretty good. Before you get too carried away, is this gonna crash the show?
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Basically, what happens is it's a relatively small update because it turns out it was a relatively small problem. But what somebody discovered was that the SSL, which is this secure what does SSL stand for?
Oh, I know what that means.
What does it stand for, James? What does it mean?
I don't remember. It's something secure and encrypted awesomeness. I don't know.
It is the secure.
It's used on website stuff a lot.
Ding. It is the secure sockets layer. It's effectively it's the predecessor to the transport layer secure. No. Where'd the word go? It has to do with the transport security layer. It's basically what certifies that a website has a safe communication link. Boom, back and forth between two things. So, like, when you do bank transactions, you'll see the little, like, the little certificate in the upper corner of your browser. It'll say SSL.
Yep, yep.
And there's a communication protocol that basically makes sure nobody's eavesdropping. So, like, you want to make sure you have that so that you're not sending all your bank information back and forth over an unsecure line that people can eavesdrop on. But it also prevents people from injecting packets into your stream and, sending you data that you're not supposed to get into your phone through the back door.
I use it on one of my websites.
Perfect. That's good. And if you need SSL or you're supposed to be using it and you don't have it and you don't realize it, that can be a big problem. And turns out basically nobody's had it on their iPhone for a little while.
What's Johnny Ives doing?
This wasn't Johnny Ives.
Falling asleep at the helm.
I don't think this was Johnny Ives' fault in particular.
Is he not in charge of iOS?
I guess, yeah, but and they said that security research is pretty interesting. Like, they basically said there's two types of bugs that happen. There are like where's the phrase? One second. That was loud. But I can't find it. But there's like two kinds of bugs that when you have a flaw in your program, there are the bugs where it's like, it's really elusive and it has to do with something that you're doing somewhere and it's affecting this and it's affecting that and it's affecting this, it's affecting that. And it's just kind of like, it can take a long time to sort through where the problem is. And oftentimes it's a problem in like just the logic of how you work through how the machine's supposed to work. And it acts in an unpredictable manner. But then there's this other kind of problem, which is like it's okay if you make this mistake as a sophomore computer science major, but it's not okay if you make this mistake as a junior computer science major. This bug falls into the second category. and basically what they said was there's this part of the code that they It's funny, like they show the code right here, but it's basically like the actual chunk of code that does the SSL security, you know, check. It has a it has an if-then statement. So if there's an error, it says go to fail, which bypasses the code. And then if there's a different error, then it says go to fail, and then there's a bypass and goes bypasses it. And then there's supposed to be another statement that says if there's a different type of error, go to fail. Well, after that second if, there's a second, you know, if go to fail, and then if this happens, then go to fail. Then there's just a line that says go to fail, and it's a typo. It's just a copy repeat. But because that's there, sandwiches between the ifs, if you're a programmer and you look at it, you look at it for 10 seconds, and you realize, oh my gosh. Basically, right in the middle of the code, before they get to executing the code, they tell you, just skip the code. And
oops.
Never gets around
so
to
it. General programming principle is, if you're doing an if statement and the then statement is just one line, you don't need brackets for it.
Correct.
It knows to execute the one line, and it moves on. If it's going to be multiple lines, brackets are required. And it looks right. Like they did not use brackets, but one of them had more than one line, which causes an error.
Yeah, and it's just one of those, like, you know, yeah, it's the sort of
thing. So it sounds like what happens is it checks the if, you know, and if the first one's if it was true, it would go to fail, right?
Right.
But if it's false, it's like, all right, now let's do the next check. And so it does the next check, if. And if that's true, it would fail. Or if it's false, it says, okay, let's do the next check. And there's a third one that it's supposed to get to. But the problem is that it, you know, even if, you know, if it goes, if it's false, move on. If it's false, it's supposed to move on. It moves on to the next line in the code, which says, go to fail.
Right.
It goes, all right. So it always failed. So it means it was always turning it off, huh?
Yeah.
Nice. That's a hard bug to find if you don't know to look for it. I mean, I realize what you just said, but man, that's, you know, if you take it out of context, yeah,
right.
Super
well,
obvious.
And the problem is that what's the problem of it is that the code now will never tell you that there's a problem because it's not throwing up any flags or anything.
Yeah, it's not technically wrong. It's doing exactly what you told it to do.
Right. And
I love code. I love code.
Yeah, well, and it's and most importantly, like, you know, errors and stuff, all of those other errors for the go to fail, there's the this is what you do if it fails, but that error also throws up all sorts of flags, and those get logged, and those go places. And so, you know, the operating system's building up a log of, you know, all right, it still worked even though we failed, but hey, it failed. Whereas here it was just bypassing everything it was supposed to be doing without making any error logs. So the operating system thinks, hey, everything's cool. And it's reporting back to the Apple servers, hey, everything's still cool. And Apple's sitting there thinking, cool, everything's cool. And everybody's getting their certificates that they're supposed to be getting because Apple's handing them out to everybody because it's not actually checking for any. And the only way to discover that there's an error at all is if you, you know, try to snoop or if you try to do packet injection and you succeed when you're getting, you know, the SSL certificates and you're like, guys, you say you're doing it, but I know for a fact you're not doing it. And then once you understand that there is a bug, and that's what made this, like, you know, difficult, but what's really crazy, I guess, is that, it affected this is like shared code, I guess. I don't even really understand how this happened. But I guess it's like not only was it on iOS, which is now fixed in 7.0.6, but it's also affecting Safari for OS X. So they're like, if you need to do banking or anything, use Chrome. So it was just like it was a widespread, you know, but it's a relatively simple bug. But, you know, just that's a bummer. And the really important thing here, and the reason why it's important to do this over a secure connection like your home Wi-Fi, is because it's very possible. This is, you know, those types of updates are supposed to be done over secure socket layers. So so all of those updates are supposed to be protected so somebody can't inject code as you're doing this. As in a hypothetical way, somebody who's eavesdropping could see you connect to Apple servers, see you trying to download the update, tell the iPhone, hey, that's the wrong server, point you to their server, which has another update called 7.0.6, which doesn't fix it, and now your phone thinks it's fixed, thinks it has the update, and doesn't.
So I got to ask this, because I honestly don't know. I mean, that sounds like a bunch of doom and gloom, but how often does something like that happen, where someone's phone gets hacked in that regard?
In this sort of a case, not very at all. But the problem is, and the reason why this kind of stuff is in general important, is because that is like the number one, you know, trick for really, if you're talking like, from what I, you know, I'm not a super security expert. I'm more of a, I know just enough to get dangerous, but I know that like when you're talking about really serious viruses and worms and stuff that are using some sort of an exploit to get into your system, if you're sophisticated enough to know what's going on the base operating system in order to get in, oftentimes the first thing you do once you've infected, you know, your virus, once it infects a system, first thing it does is it goes in and patches it, and then it tells all the antivirus software that, hey, there's not a virus, there's not a problem here. You know, and that's pretty, you know, this is a, it, it's, I guess the question is how long did the bad guys know that this was a vulnerability before the good guys fixed it? If the good guys found it first, they'd have no time to respond to it. But if the bad guys have been working on this for, you know, a couple of months, it'd be very, very easy to set up shop in, you know, Starbucks around the country and take over a couple hundred iPhones, you know, a day. And to put those sorts of things in there. That's not a very...
Some dude thought he was like some brilliant hacker. Yeah, it turns out he wasn't. But
yeah.
Man, I've been totally getting in. I've figured out this vulnerability. I've been working on it for weeks. Yeah, it turns out it's good. So how long has that been the case? You know, do they know, like, was that with 7.0 or has that been around for a while?
I haven't read. I think it was 7.0, but I haven't. Okay. I'm not sure when it really surfaced. But
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Happens to the best of them.
Exactly.
I'll update, I guess.
I just got done. That's how long it took me. Now, granted, my internet's a little bit faster than yours, but
yeah, I'm not doing it now. I'm not
took the length of it. But I mean, that's how small of an update it is. It took the length of the story to get it done.
Or we talk really long. One of the two.
Good point.
Oh man. So
let's talk about the big one.
Okay.
The big one.
So.
Mm-hmm.
You were gone last week.
Mm-hmm.
You were in España?
Sí, señor.
Right?
Yeah, in I am.
Bilbao. Bilbao. How do you spell that?
B-I-L-B-A-O. Okay. Bilbao.
That's cool. And you were there for work, and that was awesome.
Yeah, it was very
did
cool.
You have any opportunities while you were there to just kind of enjoy the local scenes and
meet
the local folks?
I mean, Spain's really cool because they've got a crazy nightlife. And Bilbao is part of Basque Country.
Yeah, which like starts at like 9 o'clock, doesn't it? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, well,
we always joke about eating on the Spanish schedule when we eat after 9 o'clock.
Right, and Spain is in dire straits right now because like people, you know, take siestas and they sleep in the middle of the day and they all get a little bit liquor, you know, they get a little wind up at lunch and then they go and they, you know, and nobody works really hard most of Spain, but the thing is that you know, Spain's not dead. There are communities in Spain that actually work really hard, and one of those communities, one of the big parts, is the northern Spain or the Basque Country. And by and large, it is what remains of the economic engine of of Spain, which is why they wanted to declare independence from the rest of Spain. And they're really serious about it, and the rest of Spain's really serious about not letting them, because they're what remains of the economic engine of Spain. But one of the things that they do that's unique to Spain is they actually work 8 hours a day. And they don't really take
siestas. Oh, that's crazy talk. Who does that anymore?
So we did
the Jetson era where we just hit a button one day a week and we call it good.
The rest of Spain is, they actually engage in things like manufacturing and engineering and development. It's a pretty cool part of the town, but the thing is that there's still
Spanish. I can see why you decided to visit there then.
It's true. The thing is that they're still Spanish and they still party like maniacs. And it was a Monday night and we were out at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night at the bars, and the bars were still full. And we're drinking cervezas, eating pinchos, and hanging out with chicas. I mean, it was it was ridiculous. but it was fun. It was really cool. And while I was there, met a lot of guys, but also met a lot of chicas, which is cool. And It's cool.
Because I'm single. So chicas are good. Yeah, I got gotcha.
How you doing? And I'm And one of the girls that we met while we were there, we were trying to hang out with and coordinate with, and
you said we.
Yeah, I was there with a coworker, and my age, kind of same temperament, so it was a good match for what we were doing there. So we're trying to hang out with her, and she goes, we're like, Facebook, yeah, well, we'll connect to her Facebook, and she goes, are you on what? Do you have WhatsApp? And I was like, I've heard WhatsApp, and I know people that use WhatsApp, and I've always been kind of like, because one of the things that I know that's true about it is that it's this is also you need to understand that I was in a Wi-Fi shadow for the entire time I was there. I had probably about like 3 hours combined Wi-Fi access, internet access.
Oh, you poor child.
Well, it's not too bad. I was busy. I was having fun. It was good. But the thing is...
No, it's not too bad at all.
I was like, yeah, I was in a complete, I had no clue what was going on in the tech world. Like, any big stories? I didn't know. I was just like, I'll catch up with this weekend.
Well, what day of the week was this on when this was happening?
This is literally Wednesday morning. This conversation, and I'm talking with her, and I'm familiar with WhatsApp because number one, I know it's huge. It's got a giant user base, mostly European, the Ruskies, the Europeans, Eastern Europeans, they use it like mad. And basically what I'd always been told is it was a free text messaging app. And I was like, a free text messaging app? So it's just Google Messenger or Facebook Messenger or iMessages or all works over Wi-Fi? Yeah, big deal. I still don't have any internet when I'm in Spain. Like, how is this supposed to help me? And now it's a little bit more sophisticated than that, and I should have actually looked into it because it would have been useful given during certain times. But it still requires, phone access, and that's, what I don't have, and it's the reason I'm moving over to T-Mobile. So, but what's cool about it is it's multi-platform. So, unlike iMessages, which I think is a great solution if you have an iPhone for this dilemma, it works on any things other than iPhones. It'd be nice if Google would integrate their text messaging app with Google Messages, make it one thing, sort of like they did with iMessages. But then, Google Messages works on my phone. That would be cool. Facebook, they kind of existed somewhere too. And that was actually the tool that we used to communicate with her, was Facebook messaging. But as a result, I ended up downloading WhatsApp and checking it out and playing with it for the day and trying
it's
to
like
use that as well.
Prescription, isn't it?
What?
Isn't it like a buck a year prescription or something?
It's free for the first year.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's they hook you in.
They hook you. Yeah.
But a dollar a year is not bad.
Take a bite.
Yeah, a dollar a year is not bad, especially when you have 450 million users. you don't have to make a lot of money, you know, in advertising revenues in order to justify, you know, or selling people's data in order to justify keeping that kind of an operation around. You know, if you can spend less than $400 million a year, that's still a pretty good revenue stream. So, you know, it's a cool company, cool app. And I know that people were concerned because obviously Facebook's, you know, one of their, as we're talking about this, obviously we used Facebook to communicate. The importance of this is that's what Americans do oftentimes. But that's not what Europeans have been doing. They've been using WhatsApp, which – so I decided like – so what was it? We talked on Thursday when I got back, or was it Friday? And I've still like not had any time.
Friday.
Right. I've been really sick. I got super sick on the plane ride home. I've been like completely out of it. I went into work on Friday and I shouldn't have because I was still sick and just was like focused on work and wasn't goofing off and reading tech and anything. So I am still completely unaware of anything that's going on. And you're like, by the way, I've got like 29 articles about WhatsApp. So I got to pare it down, but I got WhatsApp covered. And I was like, what happened with WhatsApp? I just downloaded it for the first time. Like, what?
Nice.
I'm just like, yeah. And by the way, I at this point, I said that right out, like right there. I was like, what happened with WhatsApp?
I know.
And you were like, I'm not going to tell you. We're going to save it for the show. And I was like, no. I have no idea. I have like no clue what happened. And he goes, oh. You're like, Facebook bought it for like $19 million. And I was like,
billion.
No. I know. But you said $19 million. And I was sitting there thinking like, oh, that's weird. $19 million. That sounds like not a lot. I mean, like, why are you even talking about $19 million? Like, and furthermore, I thought WhatsApp was like huge. Like, weird. Okay. And I didn't even think about it. Until I actually saw the articles. And then I realized we were off by a couple orders of magnitude. That's enormous.
Yeah, so Facebook, in case you haven't picked up on that yet, has bought, or is going to, probably, WhatsApp. And so they're based out of one of those towns, cities, where you live, Palo Alto. There we go. I knew I'd get it. They're based out of Palo Alto. And, you know, whereas Facebook is in Menlo Park, they're close to each other, really.
Yeah, it's like you can literally get there in 20 minutes in traffic.
Yeah, they're pretty close. So, yeah, so they're buying them with it's $16 billion, including $4 billion in cash and approximately $12 billion in Facebook shares.
Yeah.
With an additional $3 billion in restricted stock units to be granted to the founders and employees that will vest over 4 years. Which, by the way, they did the math and they said that the beginning employees owned 1% of WhatsApp. Comes out to about $160 million if you take 1% of 16 bills. That's not bad. That's approximately the same as whoever that guy won the lottery in California after the taxes will have.
That's a solid you won the lottery.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want with your life.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, yeah, like you said, they've got over 450 million people using the service. 70% of them are active daily, which is a pretty good ratio. Their messaging volume is approaching the total global SMS volume, and they're adding about 1 million people a day.
Yeah, those are pretty astounding numbers.
Those are good numbers.
I'm going to say, Facebook was freaked out by that. Sorry.
Well, I saw this chart. Do I still have it? I may have gotten rid of it. Yeah, it's not in that one. But it was yeah, here it is. Okay. It was on TechCrunch, why Facebook dropped 19 bills on WhatsApp. The first one was exactly what you said. It's huge in emerging markets and in Europe. They're just, the usage numbers are off the chart. But then they also showed this this line chart, which I'm a fan of, where they've showed them over the last 4 years their growth, you know?
Yeah.
And what it shows is that looks like Gmail had a pretty early lead. You know, they were strong, and they looks like they have been growing consistently. And WhatsApp really came on board, it looks like, in 2009. That's what it looks like. So pretty early on, they were, and it looks like to me, like number two out of the gate of these apps that are in it. And then there was Twitter and Skype, and then Facebook as well. And what it showed was that in what was it now? I got to do the math here. 3 years ago, WhatsApp surpassed Gmail as the biggest IM text replacement app, however you want to think about it. And then a year ago, they were big. They were big. They were they were twice as big as Facebook's, I think, maybe even more than that. But then looking at today, where again they're at like 450 million users, Facebook's at like 145 in the second position.
Yeah.
They're significantly bigger. They're running away with it is what they're doing.
Right.
And that's just the kind of thing where, yeah, Facebook was like, all right, we gotta do something about this. So they bought them. So clearly buying on a growth trajectory there, which is interesting. Some interesting tidbits about the company, which I like about them, is that they did a lot of things that seemed opposite of what most companies would do.
Yeah.
And so like one of the things is that they were like very much like heads down. What was one of them? They said they focused on simplicity, which apparently their app is pretty simple. Can you corroborate that? Pretty simple app.
Yeah. Very simple.
Yeah. And they wanted to grow naturally and sustainably. They wanted to avoid advertising at all cost. And perhaps most interestingly, they didn't want press.
Yeah, which I think is weird.
Which, by the way, they got, and so they went down for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So one of those things where it was like, I forget where they said it. They were like, you know, marketing and press kick up dust. It gets in your eye, and then you're not focusing on your product anymore, which I thought was interesting. So they were building apps for, like, Nokias and Blackberries, because that's where their users were. They were just kind of ignoring the Galaxy Gear or Google Glass. They didn't care about those. And then I love this part here. They were so anti-distraction that they refused to even put up a company sign.
And
one of the founders goes, I can't see a reason for there being a sign. It's an ego boost. We all know where we work. Nice.
Compelling.
But I thought one of the interesting things that they said about that was, again, their whole, they didn't want to have press. They were like, if your product is where it needs to be, you won't need much press or any to grow into something worth, you know, $19 million. Said the press can help add fuel to a fire. And he goes, but a lot of times entrepreneurs cross a line and end up getting nothing more than burned by that fire. Said it's much better It's a much better approach to grow silently until the press aren't needed to fuel your flame, but rather have to show up at the site of a huge forest fire, unaware of how it started.
Which is, you know, I mean, that's an accurate way of saying it. I mean, it's funny, you know, it's like I don't even think we've ever talked about WhatsApp, which is kind of embarrassing because.
Nah.
I've been very aware of WhatsApp for the last year because I keep going over to England and everybody uses it. And everybody keeps telling me to use it. I'm like, none of my friends use it. It's like I downloaded BlackBerry Messenger, and guess what? Nobody uses it. So what's the point of me having the app? And that's how I felt about WhatsApp. And so it's like, because the first time I heard about it, I remember the conversation. It was getting ready to go to Cabo last year. So I've known about it for at least 10 months. And have been following it and read articles about it and understand it, know what it is. And
you're such a laggard.
I know. I can't believe it. And now it's like, you know, this is why we have the show, so that we can talk about things like these. Matthew, come on, get it together. And
blew it.
I know.
You're supposed to pick up on those subtleties, man.
No.
People are talking about it. They're trying to get me on it. Maybe there's something here. I should investigate it so I can talk about it on a podcast.
I know.
You're saying. So obviously people are talking about, you know, how's Facebook going to handle it, because they don't do advertising and Facebook does advertising. And there's discussions around that, which I think they'll figure out. Facebook said they're going to let them run autonomously, like they're letting Instagram run autonomously, which is fine.
Autonomously? I use my air quotes there for those of you who are listening and not watching.
And so there's that. But what was interesting about it is there's a writer out there, Benedict Evans, who had some thoughts about it. And his whole thing was like, let's just put some of this into context here. Where he was saying that when Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion, they said they paid approximately 1% of its market value. Okay, because, you know, now they're publicly traded, we can start to do some math.
Right.
And he says, but with WhatsApp, because of the amount they paid, they're currently paying about 10% of Facebook to buy WhatsApp. And so he goes, so you got to ask the question here, is WhatsApp worth 10% of Facebook? He said that deal values WhatsApp. Each user is worth about $35 to them, which, fun fact, is about how much Google paid for YouTube in terms of dollars per user.
Yeah.
Which one could argue turned out pretty well. And which I would be one of those people using it right now to argue that. But they said the current market cap of Facebook values each user at about $140 ish. So, you know, which again gets you that 10%. So his whole thing was like, all right, that's an awful lot. I don't care how you look at it. That's an awful lot of money to pay a percentage of your company to pay for another company.
Right.
And so he starts to pontificate and be like, what are they going for here? Why? What does Facebook see that we don't even see yet? And so he has this, this little, I don't know, blurb, I guess, where he says, mobile social apps are not really about free SMS. Mobile discovery and acquisition is a mess. It's a pre-PageRank phase where we lack the right tools and paths to find and discover content and services effectively. Social apps may well be a major part of this, as he discussed in detail here. These apps have the opportunity to be a third channel in parallel to Google and Facebook. So what did this guy is saying? Is he saying, we used to live in a web where there was no search, or not a very good search, right?
Right.
And so it was this wild west, and you had to find stuff on your own. And then
the advent of web surfing.
Yes, PageRank came along, and they codified how to, you know, what links things together. How do we find stuff? And it revolutionized the World Wide Web, right? Huge. Search is huge, and his point is saying, we are at that pre-PageRank phase right now with mobile phones. You know, it's kind of interesting where we've got all these apps that people use all the time, But they don't really talk very well to each other. And, you know, part of it is we have a bunch of really big players who make it a point to try to keep you locked in with what you're doing, whereas back in the day, they weren't huge, and it was all about free sharing, and, you know, they wanted things to mash up and interconnect. Remember, that, like, when APIs were a huge deal, and everyone was talking about the new mashup of this, the new mashup of that, and, you know, it's just, you don't hear that anymore.
Right.
And so I was like, so that doesn't exist, but the app stores are not very good. Finding content within your apps is not super easy. And it is possible, and I honestly don't fully understand it because I haven't used the app and I'm not 100% sure, but he firmly believes that an app like this is actually going to help with content discovery and services going down the future. And that is actually what Facebook is buying today. Is the ability to help you find things, which, you know, in turn help out Facebook in the end, in the same way that search helped out Google.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not 100% sure what that looks like, but that's what this guy's talking about. And he's going, that's where he thinks Facebook is headed. And, you know, and so I've, you know, hey, let me pause to see what you think about that.
So I think it's, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think it's that. I think we're overthinking it.
Because the other one was mobile devices are very simple and they are single service things. And Facebook was clearly the king of social on the web. They're not the king yet, though they are definitely a contender on mobile. But in order to be king, you can't have this all in, you know, do everything app, which they tried and didn't work very well. And so you got to have a whole bunch of single service. We do this one thing really, really well app. We have a messenger app. We have Instagram for photos. Now we have another messenger app. And, you know, but trying to do those things, you know, trying to build out this moat, if you will, or this suite of apps that do one thing really well so that they can try to be king in this space.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my thought, my reaction, my feeling to this is that, you know, it's they weren't going to win. They'd already lost the race, and all they have is value. All they had is money. They didn't have, you know, and one of the things I read a really, really interesting article, and that I read it on Mac Daily News, of course. The reason I'm giving you this full disclosure is because it's biased. It is a biased article, but it is an interesting.
Wait, why would they be biased? Are they biased towards something?
Yeah, sometimes.
Mac Daily News, they're biased towards something?
But there's and that being said, it was an intriguing principle. And basically what this article was arguing is that a lot of these companies, especially like, you know, a lot of these tech companies in the Silicon Valley, their value is based in future value.
Right.
How much will their IPO be worth? As opposed to how much revenue are they generating with, you know, Google obviously is a standout of they generate a tremendous amount of revenue. But their evaluation, they don't generate nearly as much revenue as Apple, yet their evaluations, you know, per stock is like a crazy high, and their what's that ratio, it's how they kind of standardize what a value of a stock should be. I can't remember what it's called now, but
per share,
yeah, something like that.
No,
but it's,
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of it, but.
But it's, you know, it's the principle of, like, you know, how much
P&E,
you know,
ratio, right?
There we go. Your P E ratio. And the P/E ratio of Google is,
I don't,
like,
remember what that stands for, but sure.
Me neither. It's like out of the ballpark compared to Apple's, and for no good reason. Nobody, like, Apple is Apple makes stuff. They are generating revenue. They've got many revenue streams. Google has basically one revenue stream. It's Google Ad Search, and it's revenue through Google ads through search. And which, by the way, okay, random side note, I was miserable on the flight back. I mean, just the worst headache of my life in a 10.5-hour flight from France to San Francisco. And I regret so much how much I pay and I was in, because We sat next to one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my entire life. This French chick who works for Google at the Irish offices as one of their, like, you know, marketing people. And she's got a bunch of, like, music clients. I was like, you are the coolest person I've ever met. I want to spend so much time with you. And I never even really got her name. It's awful. It's cool stuff when you travel abroad happens. I recommend everybody go out and get a job that allows you to travel abroad. It's worth it. Distracted myself. So, but what they were saying, so you've got these companies on one side that are worth something. They generate revenue. And then you got Facebook who, they generate revenue, but it's not a lot, and there's concerns about their long-term future and stuff at this point. But a lot of their value and where people were making tons of money and why so many people invested in them had a lot to do with what their IPO was going to be worth, what their future value was worth, what their growth rates were, stuff like that. That's where there's a real opportunity to make a ton of money. And basically it's like what Facebook did just now is they took their stock – which is worth, you know, obviously it has a certain dollar amount to it, but it's worth a certain amount of cachet of future, you know, future worth and current earnings and future growth potential and stuff like that. They traded that stock. They gave that stock to WhatsApp, and then WhatsApp gave all of their stock to Facebook. And Facebook all of a sudden got this infusion of potential growth. And that is worth something. But it's a bit of a shell game because it's like none of all y'all are actually generating that much money on your own. What are you doing? There's a concern, there's a growing concern that I've read, and it's, you know, and I don't know if this is just like, you know, random investors that don't know anything, but I think it's an intriguing idea that guys like Zuck and especially the unholy marriage that's being born between these massive, gigantic internet tech companies and the massive, giant investment bank in Wall Street. And they're getting together and they're mingling and they're coming up with these crazy, complicated idea, you know, like deals where we're going to do this with this stock and this stock's worth this much, and they, you know, they're trading a bunch of numbers around really, really quickly, and it's all based on how much growth is going right now. And as soon as the growth starts to slow, what do? We're going to grab something else that's growing, and we're going to use that to infuse it. And the question that this investor was asking was like, are these companies just going to keep growing and growing and growing and absorbing things that slow their growth, sometimes almost immediately as soon as they get absorbed? You know, it's like Google, or I said Germany, I guess, saw like the WhatsApp in Germany saw a massive decrease in usage in the last 3 days since the acquisition was announced. People are already saying, no, there's privacy concerns. We don't use Facebook because we don't like Facebook. That's why we use WhatsApp. And so now they're going somewhere else. You know, I think a lot of people...
Well, we'll see if that lasts or not, if we're going to say initial reaction.
Right, and I think a lot of people are going to be oblivious to it. That's why they keep the, you know, quote, autonomous, you know, existence so that you're not really aware it's Facebook. You know, I know a lot of people who still don't know that YouTube is owned by Google. But you've got, you know, but this question of is this deal, you know, is this deal may not be about good technology. You know, one of the things I've always advocated liking Facebook is because I think they're really big advocates of good engineering and good technology. And if you can build good technology, you can do good engineering, and you can find products that people want, you're going to be successful. You can, you know, chase it down. But lately, at least what the media seems to be concerned about is you know, these gigantic deals that Facebook keeps trying to, you know, put together. And that's where they're trying to get their growth to come from, catching people that are already rocketing, that are on their way to a massive IPO, catching them before they do and bringing them into the fold. And that actually, you know, long term, that could be a you know, that could be signs of disaster. Whereas Google and Apple are really focused on building something new, and, you know, finding growth where nobody else has growth. And, you know, and even Microsoft, they're not doing a great job at it, but even Microsoft, that's what Microsoft's doing. They're not acquiring as much as Facebook. Whereas Facebook seems very much in this acquisition mode, and their stock's doing well because, you know, companies they've acquired have done well. And so I don't know. It's one of those things where I wonder if it's just we're overthinking this one too much. It's WhatsApp said this is what our IPO is going to be worth. Beat that number or you're never going to own us. And Facebook said this is what we're willing to beat it by. And they negotiated it down to what everybody thought was, you know, reasonable. And, you know, a couple of owners became billionaires overnight, and they were going to become billionaires no matter what. And, you know, and Facebook needed it more, needed to, you know, I don't know. Facebook, you know, that's the only thing I can think that happened. That's the only thing that makes sense to me that happened after reading everything.
I really just feel like you're just jealous and you're just kind of lashing out here.
I'm
harassing you, by the way. Harassing
good.
You.
Thank you.
But you're getting riled up. You're getting riled up here.
I understand. I do wonder, like, I've read quite a few, and I feel like there's a lot of people that are saying, man, what does Facebook see that we don't? And maybe they do, but oftentimes that's just you're overthinking it too much. There's a real simple thing here, is they overpaid for what it is, which is potential growth. That's it. You know,
all right.
Cool. And, you know,
time will tell.
I know.
Time will tell.
Exactly.